praise the Lord. Thank you to our worship team. Don't they do an outstanding job? All of the different teams here. I told Amanda, I said, you know, when they were doing Waymaker, it's just like, I've heard that song sung by the people who wrote it, and that was as good a version as I've ever heard right there. Do an outstanding job, and we're so blessed to be part of this church, you know. And I'm just telling you, as someone who led worship, I've had people ask me, so why don't you lead worship at Rhema? I said, have you heard these people sing? Amen. And I had most of the songs that I would lead, if I was playing guitar, I worked them around to certain keys because that's my best work on the guitar. So praise God. So amen. Hallelujah. How many of you remember when we sang choruses all the time? Everything was a chorus. There was no verses. And you sang the chorus till you fell over. You sang it so many times. You might key change it, go up the line, but hallelujah. I want to talk tonight about our identification with Christ. Our identification with Christ. And especially in several areas, but starting off with his crucifixion through his resurrection to his seating at the right hand of God. You know, you and I were not there physically, but somehow the cross has drawn us to that place. All humanity is actually drawn to the cross, whether they realize it or not. Because only through the cross and what Jesus did there started, you know, what started at the cross. Of course, the plan of redemption was his miraculous birth, sinless life. But in going to the cross, he became our substitute. Amen? And it's through him as our representative. And so we identify with him. He was our substitute. He acted for us. So what he did on the cross was accredited to our account. He was made sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So in whatever sense Jesus was made to be sin, we were identified with that. Sin and spiritual death had to be eradicated on the cross, and righteousness and eternal life paid for us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the new birth, we have received eternal life into our spirits. Through that substitutionary work, his life has become vitally ours. And we have received the manifestation of the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. Glory to God. So we are identified with Christ. Say, I am identified with Christ. Hallelujah. In our identification, all that Christ did was credited to our account. He was our substitute. In other words, it's as if we did it. It's as if we went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. But thank God, when he was made alive, we were made alive. And we have his life in us. And it is credited to your account and to my account that the devil is defeated and we have the victory. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me, if you would. We're going to read several scriptures here tonight. And we run out of time, we'll just stop. What we say tonight will be good, all right? Because we're going to look at the Word of God. Not what Tad says, but what the Word says. Amen? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he has made him to be sin for us, for who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now I want you to notice, he made him to be sin for us. That means he substituted. He made Jesus. Now, he didn't make Jesus a sinner. He made him the bearer of the sin nature for us. He took our place and bore the penalty of it so that we could have his standing as the righteousness of God. So he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in him. Glory to God. I mean, when you hear people still quote it, and if you're going to just talk about yourself, yes, my righteousness is as filthy rags. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah, all that stuff. But I'm not standing here tonight. I'm not standing before God on my own righteousness. Hallelujah, because of the great sin bearer, the substitute, the vicarious substitute who took your place and my place and bore our sin on the cross. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. He identified with us, with our sin nature, that he might eliminate that sin nature and give us victory over sin, over Satan, over spiritual death. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Hallelujah. Satan has been defeated by what Jesus has done. Satan demanded blood, demanded the price be paid, that blood be shed because of man's disobedience. Excuse me, and God set him up. He didn't know. I love that when it said, what Paul said, had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. If he knew that he was going, that restored to us through what Jesus did would be the, our right standing with God, he'd have left Jesus alone. But he couldn't. God knew him. God set him up. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation chapter 1. There's so many scriptures we could read on this subject. This is the Pauline revelation that God gave him, yet here we have Jesus talking to this. Because, you know, where did Paul get his revelation? From Jesus. Glory to God. Excuse me. I get a kick out of folks that think they got a new revelation. You know, I have to remind myself, well, Tad, if it's new, did you get it from the Bible? Because if you got it from the Bible, it's not new. And if it didn't come from the Bible, it's not good. It might be new to me, but it's not new to God. If you come up with something that's new to God, forget it. Take a word of advice. Just let it go. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, Jesus said, "I am he that lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Woo, goodness. Glory to God. Glory to God. He not only partook of flesh and blood, and took on himself our nature as the sinless Son of God. He was able to be made sin through death, destroy the hold of spiritual death that Satan held over humanity. When Jesus was made alive, he destroyed Satan and his lordship of sin and death. And in effect, he took the keys of hell, judgment, and death from him. And when he was made alive, we were identified with him, being made alive with him. Let's look at some I am statements here. Or not actually, I was statements in our substitution with Christ, because what he did for us, and it was as if we were there with him. First one's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I was crucified with Christ. It's just as real in the courtroom of heaven that you went to the cross, that you paid the penalty for your sin. It's just as real that Jesus took our place. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Just as surely as Jesus is crucified, we are crucified with him. Amen. The whole world needs to understand that. They don't know it yet. They've been crucified with Christ. He bore their sin. He bore that nature. There's not a sin problem any longer. There's a sinner problem. Get the sinner to Jesus, it does away with the sin problem. Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." I was crucified, so the world no longer has any hold over me. I'm in this world, but I'm no longer of it. Amen. And the more I pay attention to everything that's going on in the world, the more I'm bound to it. But I'm not bound to this world. Now, Jesus said, "Lord, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. Just keep them from the evil in it." Yeah, the world's evil. You haven't figured that out yet? It's not going to get any better. But thanks be to God. We're crucified to the world. The world's crucified to us. It's no longer that old us that lives in us. Christ now lives in us, he said. Hallelujah. Christ lives in us, and we share his resurrection. And we share the victory over Satan and death. There in chapter 2, excuse me, he said that we share in his resurrection. We now live by the faith of the Son of God. It's a life of faith. Again, it's not based. Boy, Pastor Craig did such a good job talking about it. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on what I see. What's the Word of God say? What's the Bible say about it? Hallelujah. And then whenever you get to where you turn your hope over into from I'm going to have it someday to it's mine now. Like he said this morning, that's when you're going to hold that title deed in your hand. Yeah. Amen. You're going to hold that. That belongs to me. Amen. And no devil in hell can take it from you. See, you don't just believe you're healed when you feel good. And besides that, if I was healed by the stripes of Jesus, I am now. So I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed. The devil's trying to steal my health. Hallelujah. You need to take out that sword of the Spirit and look him right in the eye. Now, where is he? He's under our feet. Look him right in the eye. And say, you want some of this, Mr. Devil? And you come around here trying to take my health, trying to put that sickness on me, trying to put that plague on me, trying to put that disease on me. No, you don't, Mr. Devil. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Well, you don't feel. Check now. Look, feel. Do you feel healed? I didn't ask myself how I feel. I'm telling myself I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to do that to your bank account. Some of your problem is you don't know what you have in your bank account. That's a problem. You need to know the state of your flocks. Glory to God. Amen. You don't like, get pastors right. You get talking about people's money and they just kind of, okay. Romans 6. I learned from him. I learned from the best. Glory to God. Romans 6. Think about this. The cross has provided, because we've been crucified to the world and the world's crucified us, the cross has provided a permanent barrier between me and the world. That's why my needs aren't met according to the riches of this world. My needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter how high gas goes. It doesn't matter. You don't have to like it, but you don't have to gripe about it either. Every time I gripe, I'm saying, God, you can't meet my need, I guess. Amen. You think God cares how much gas is? The pump? What's that to God? This guy's got streets made of such pure gold you can see through it. If there was a pothole in heaven, if. One little fleck of that, what we call asphalt, that would fall into your hands and make you the richest person in the whole world. That's where our needs are met, according to his riches in glory. And he's got all the resources you'll ever need. He's already got it right here. Amen. All right. Point. Romans 6:6 says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'm not going to turn there. They'll put it up on the screen. Colossians 3:10 says this, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after him, the image of him that created him. All right. So because I was crucified with Christ, that leads me to number two, I died with Christ. Stay there in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 1, 2, and 3 here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of you that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We need to have an understanding and the comprehend and live in the reality that we have died with Christ. In our identification with him, we participated in his death as well as his resurrection. Since we're dead with Christ to sin, sin can no longer have dominion over us. And everything that sin comes with sin. Brother Hagin taught this. He said, sin here doesn't mean an act of sin. If you look it up in context, it doesn't. He's talking about the nature of sin and all that came with sin, all that's the result of sin or anything that's of the devil. So he said, how shall we that are dead to sin? He said this. I was listening. I don't know. I'd heard him say it before, but it never struck me until here it's been a while back now, but I wrote it in my Bible. Sin. He said that we're dead to sin. Well, we're dead to sickness and disease also. I'm dead to poverty and lack. I'm dead to spiritual death. I'm dead to the second death. I'm dead to separation from God. It no longer has any dominion over me, glory to God. I'm dead to anxiety. I'm dead to depression, oppression, mental illness, any of that type of stuff. I'm dead to it because that's all of the world. It's all because of sin, and sin no longer has dominion over us. Hallelujah. I'm identified with Christ. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Could you imagine Satan trying to put some type of mental oppression on Jesus right now? No, I've got the same inheritance he does right now. I'm going to get a resurrected body. You're going to get a resurrected body. When that's going to happen, I don't know. Not in a hurry. So I want to fulfill what God has for me to do on the earth. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I'm not even close to satisfied yet. But I can look forward. Amen. We have died with Christ. Our death in Christ freed us from sin, sickness, and poverty, spiritual death. Look at Romans there. Look down, drop down to chapter six, verse 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise reckon, or count it as done, you also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Think about this. A dead person's free from sin. They're no longer going to have an opportunity to sin. We just need to pass all those opportunities right by. Well, since I was crucified with Christ, since I died with Christ, I was buried with Christ. Back up to verse 4. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See what happened. After Jesus satisfied the demands of justice against our sins and the nature that was reflected in our old man, that old spiritual sin nature, we with Christ, after we were buried, were raised with him. Glory to God. We were buried in our baptism into Christ, raised to the operation of God that raised Christ from the dead. By that same power that raised Christ from the dead, we've been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. That leads us to our fourth point. I was made alive with Christ. I was made alive with Christ. Since I was crucified with him, since I died with him, since I was buried with him, I was also made alive with him. Hallelujah. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians, the second chapter. Like I said, there's so many scriptures that with this, we're just hitting the highlights here. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 5. We'll just read that for time's sake. Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together, or he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He made us alive together with Christ. Over in chapter 1, he talks about that Paul prayed that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power according to the working of that mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He gave him that name. But it was in that resurrection, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead made us alive in Christ. We are alive in him. Buried with him by baptism, but made alive through his resurrection. Colossians chapter 2. I didn't give it to you guys, but I'm going to read verse 14 with this also. So I'm going to read Colossians 2, 13, 14, and 15 here. Verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together," or he has made alive together with him, "having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Because I was crucified with Christ, because I was buried with, died with Christ, because I was buried with Christ, because I was raised with Christ, I have also conquered with Christ." The victory that Jesus won, he won for you and I. Being made alive, Jesus spoiled and defeated the satanic and demonic powers that opposed God and opposed the resurrection, opposed God's people. Through his death, he destroyed and defeated and dethroned Satan, who had the keys of death held in the grave. Jesus was made alive again in the spirit, and there was nothing to hold him in the dark regions any longer. And when he came out victorious, triumphing over them in it, it was as if we had defeated Satan ourselves. Now, we know it's not because of who we are, but we know it's because of him. And we share in his victory. We were made alive with him. We won his victory. We were raised with him. That's our next point. I was raised with Christ. You're there in Colossians. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God." Hallelujah. I'm not limited to anything here. I'm not limited. Glory to God. I'm risen with Christ. I'm risen with Christ. He's alive. I'm alive. What kind of life? I got the resurrection life on the inside of me. Turn over to Ephesians 1. I quoted most of that prayer there to you. But let's start in verse 17, Ephesians 1:17. It says this, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto every person here at Rhema Bible Church tonight the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him and all you watching, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you, every one of you here, would know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." We were raised with Christ in our identification with him. So now, we have the ability to seek those things that are above, the blessings of God's throne in the heavenly life, the authority of Jesus' resurrection and his seating at the right hand of God is ours through him. And he's given us the right to use his name, that name that is above every name, not only this world, but that which is to come. Because we were raised with Christ. So because we were crucified with Christ, because we died with him, because we were buried with him. Hallelujah. Not only were we buried with him, amen, because we were buried with him, because when he rose, we conquered with him, because we were raised with him, the last and final thing tonight is we are seated with him. We are seated with him. Seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Several years ago here, we were singing a song. It was a song, some of you remember Roy Brock. When Roy was here, Roy would lead us. He talked about Jesus is calling for us to come higher. And one of the lines that changes, to see everything from a new point of view. Because when we're seated in Jesus, we don't see things from this earth realm. We don't see things from the trouble realm. We see things from the overcomer's realm. From the victorious one's realm. From the conqueror's realm. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, who causes us to triumph in every situation. Thanks be to God, who's made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not me, not because of who I am, but because of who he is and who he's made me by being in him. We are seated with Christ. We read that in Colossians chapter 3. He says, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Stay there in Ephesians. Look over in chapter 2 now. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 6. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Into that place of authority. Into that place of carrying out the will of God. In that honored place. I remember when I heard some, you know, I got saved June 30th, 1980. So it's coming up on 44 years here. And I remember, you know, God had blessed us and got us around some good teachers and even some before we, that it really introduced us to this ministry. And but the teaching on you know, who we are in Christ and we're joint heirs with Jesus and we've been raised with him. And some of them taught for a while there, and then I heard them come back later and say, now we taught that to try to get, but really the idea is this. But they taught, you know, that if Jesus is the first begotten from the dead, well, my number's in there somewhere. I'm somewhere down there. But they insinuated that you could possibly be so far down the line you couldn't even see the throne of God. You're seated there. No, the Bible didn't say we're seated next to Jesus. Next to God, we're seated with him at the right hand of God. We're seated there with him. Why? We're in him. Well, if I'm in him, I got to be seated in him. Think of this. He's in us. Well, where does Jesus start and I begin? Don't try to find out. Just forget it. Just live in Christ. You get so much like Jesus, nobody can tell the difference. Keep the armor of God on, the devil won't know the difference. Dress like God, talk like God, act like God. Hallelujah. Why? You've been raised with Christ, and you're seated with Jesus. We're raised up and seated with him. Where? Far above all principality and power, every might and dominion. And he gave us the right to use that name. That name that's above every name. Glory to God. When we speak that name, it's as if Jesus himself was speaking. When we say sickness, you go in the name of Jesus, it has to go. Satan, go in the name of Jesus, he has to go. It has to obey. It must bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. Every tongue confess. We're identified with him. Because he identified with us. Now you think about it. None of us could probably talk anybody into making a trade like that. He who is life. He who is full of glory laid aside his glory. Become a human being like us. Flesh and blood. Laid aside that heavenly glory. Never stopped being God, but he laid it aside to live like us and to die like us on our behalf. He was righteous, we weren't. He took our position outside of God and gave us his position with God. Whew, my. We don't have to let the elements of this world hold us back. Now, the storms of life are going to come to everybody. But there's a big difference than building your house on the rock of the Word of God, of hearing and doing the Word, than there is in building it on the sand. The storm, same storm came to both. But the house that was built on what God says, the house that's built on our identification with Christ, and the house that's built as our acting and living in vital union with Him, will stand. It doesn't matter what comes. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what comes. Because even when I don't see it, He's working. Even when I don't feel it, He's working. Hallelujah. He never stopped. He never stops. He never stops. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. It doesn't matter what comes my way. God is on the scene. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand up on our feet and praise Him. Give Him some praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're identified with Him through His identification with us, just as if we went to the cross in Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Woo, my, my, my. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Did you notice He didn't say you are going to become the righteousness of God? He said you are the righteousness of God in Him. So if we are the righteousness of God in Him, we're not going to be healed. We are healed. We're not going to have our needs met. Our needs are met. We're not going to have a sound mind. We have a sound mind. It's not in our future. It's in our right now. It's right now. Right now. Glory to God. Right now. Right now it's ours. Right now it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Right now it belongs to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He's not the great I was or the great I will be? He's the great I am. Right now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We'll sit down for just a moment. We're going to go ahead and receive our special birthday offering for Mrs. Hagen tonight. So if you want to prepare, you want to prepare yourself for that, you can text to give that 28950. Put Hagen in the space there. You can do that if you want to give by cash. If you want a record of the giving, fill out an envelope. If you're giving it by check, just make it out to Rhema Bible Church, and on the envelope put in their birthday offering or Mrs. Hagen, and we'll make sure it all gets to her. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know how the dates work out this year, and Pastor Bill will decide when we're going to do that. But just between now and it probably won't be Rhema Day. That's the first one. It'll probably be that second one. Then Rhema Day, the 5th, so the 12th. Her birthday's on Monday, so probably the 12th. So up until then, be given. You know, every time you think of it, just, hey, put some in there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bible tells us to give honor to whom honor's due. Ms. Hagin's surely worthy of this honor, and we want to be a blessing to her. And thank you for your generosity in ahead of time. All right. Hold your offering up there. Let's pray and believe God. Father, we thank you tonight. Father, we honor the First Lady of our church. We honor Reverend Lynette Hagen. Mrs. Hagen, we thank you, Father God, for all that she does. Thank you for giving her health. Thank you for giving her wisdom. Thank you for giving her, Father God, length of days and long life satisfy her. Help us to be a blessing to her on this, her birthday. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So go ahead and do that. Everybody, if you could stay here until we get the offering taken up. Thank you. Hallelujah. Until we get the offering taken up, and that way the ushers can move about unencumbered. That's a big word for me. Ooh, unencumbered. Without distraction. How's that? Is that better? Amen. Praise the Lord. As soon as they're done, we're going to go ahead and dismiss the service. You need prayer tonight for anything, come on down, men to the men, ladies to the ladies. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God, because we know that's where our answer is. It's in God's Word. Hallelujah. How many of you are happy and thankful for God's Word? Amen. Thank God for his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all came back out. Do you have something? Okay. Give them another. They did a great job tonight. Amen. Thank you, Holly, all the team. Amen. All right. Still got buckets going across there. You guys don't have to run. You're all right. Unless you want to. I don't know. Amen. Well, don't forget all the announcements. Let's go ahead and all stand up right now. Don't forget all the announcements that were made. If you need to go over those again, get the bulletin, RhemaBibleChurch.com or the Rhema USA app. You can see those. God bless you. Be dismissed. See you back on Wednesday evening. Amen.